Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday School today. It's been a great week, a busy week, but a great week. And always good to be back in the Lord's house, and glad to have each one of you with us. Again, those that are visiting, welcome today to our Sunday School class here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Good to have refreshing rain, isn't it?
Yes.
I tell you, after the pollen comes and the wind washes away, and it comes back and it washes it away, and God's refreshing and cleansing everything for us, and I'm glad that God's in control, and it's good to be in God's house. So if you've had a good week this week, and it's been a great week, and again, we're here today to open the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn to First Corinthians today. First of all, we're talking about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We've been talking about this for a few weeks. We'll continue today. Spiritual gifts. Next Sunday will be first Sunday in April. Brother Money will be here, Lord willing, to be able to teach for you. And so be much in prayer for him as he is prepared to present to us the Word of God also. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we are. We're talking about spiritual gifts. Let's pray, first of all. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful for this time that you've given us now together in your house. Dear God, we come at this time. We are thankful for each one that's come. We do lift up those that are sick, those that are not able to be with us. Some are traveling, some are with family. God, we pray you bless them, watch over them. Lord, we're grateful now for each one that is here, and God, for this time. Lord, as we open the Word of God together, I pray, God, you would give us, Lord, understanding. Give us, dear God, what we need today. God, you know our hearts, you know our lives. Certainly we need you more than we ever have in this world in which we live. God, we're grateful that we have the Word of God, the living Word of God. Lord, that we can open up and read and, Lord, see ourselves, first of all, and see our Savior and see what he's done for us and rejoice in that. So, Father, we commit now, this time, your Word as we talk about spiritual gifts today. God, I pray you'd help us individually, Lord, to examine our hearts and our lives. God, help us to be doing what we can do with your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is writing here to a very carnal church. He says in verse number 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." In other words, spiritual gifts, Paul says, I want you to understand. I want you to know what they are. I want you to be aware of them, that you may be accountable for them also that you have in your life. Now, go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at here a few of the gifts that Paul mentions here in the book of Romans. I said last week in the book of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and also Ephesians 4, there are many spiritual gifts that Paul mentions here. And we're going to relate to some of them today as we look at this. First of all spiritual gifts. I said last week that everybody has a gift. Everybody, every born-again child of God has a spiritual gift. All of us do. And we also said that some people have more than one spiritual gift. But we know that everybody has one. Not anybody has all spiritual gifts. But God gives, he measures out to individually what he so desires for them to have and them to use. He knows who will use and who will not use what he gives them. And therefore, he measures it out abundantly. But we know that all spiritual gifts are equal in honor, maybe I should say. They are equal because, first of all, they're given by the same Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit. They're equal also because they are ruled, if you please, by the same Lord. They are energized by the same God. So we find that they are equal in honor. They're equal in honor, all gifts. It doesn't matter which one it may be. So today we want to look here in Romans chapter 12 and look at Paul listing some of these spiritual gifts. And we're going to talk about some of these gifts today, and we're going to relate, first of all, to some biblical characters that have these specific gifts that we see in their lives. And then we're going to talk about us individually and how we can discern maybe better what our gifts are. Now, in Romans chapter 12, begin reading with verse number 3. Romans 12 and verse number 3. I got my tongue tied. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we talked about that last week, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether, here's one, prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, that's another one, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, so there's three already, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, another gift, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth, another one, with diligence, he that showeth mercy, another one, with cheerfulness. Now here's some of the gifts, the spiritual gifts that Paul is writing about here and telling us that is available for Christian people. Now, I don't choose my spiritual gift, neither do you. It's given to us by God. It's given to us by God. And I personally believe it's given to us when we become a child of God. It's given to us then. And so we see here many of these gifts that are mentioned here. Now, there are three types of gifts when it comes to spiritual gifts. There's a motivation gift. There is the there's a ministry gift, and then there's the manifestation gift. Motivation, ministry, and manifestation. Someone said to me last week, and it's very true, as I relate to you today, I will never know my spiritual gift if I never do anything for God. Amen. You'll never know it. You have to, as Abraham, when he went out, when God told Abraham to take his son Isaac to the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice, Abraham obeyed God. He stepped out by faith and did what God wanted him to do. Now, if I'm to learn my spiritual gift, I have to be busy doing something for God, and then God will reveal it to me. It makes it easier for God to reveal it to me, and it makes it easier for me to understand it. Most of you remember years ago when we had vehicles, cars that did not have power steering, right? When that thing was stopped, you couldn't turn the steering wheel, could you? I mean, it was hard to turn. Hard to turn. But you notice when the vehicle started putting in motion, as it started to move, then you could steer it a lot better, right? Well, the same thing applies to our Christian life. See, as long as we are busy doing something for the Lord, then we can better understand what God's will is for our lives, and God will direct us as we go. The prophet says, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. In other words, as I went, God led me where he wanted me to go. See, you know the old saying, you can lead a horse to the water, but what? You can't make him drink, right? Well, now God wants to lead you. God wants to lead me in our lives. And we have to be available for him to lead us in this matter of discerning what God's will is for our life and what God has given us to be able to do for him. God has given us a certain ability to do for him. Now, I want us to imagine, first of all, the kinds of people who would have each of these gifts. We see, first of all, in verse number 6, Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, well, the prophecy. That's Romans 12, verse 6. Prophecy, we see here, is the first gift he speaks about here. Now, we know that there's something unique about prophets. Prophets. And we find here in the Bible, often prophets are what? They're bold. They're bold, okay? A good example of a prophet in the New Testament, I think, is in Acts chapter 4. Turn there, if you will, please. Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Often prophets are bold. They speak out. They speak out. In other words, they speak what is on their heart. They speak out. In Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Peter speaks out. Peter speaks out here, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. In other words, we see here that Peter has the gift of prophet, of a prophet. He has this gift. God give it to him. Peter, the one that denied the Lord three times, folks, now here he is, he's standing up, he's speaking out with boldness because God has given him this gift of prophet, of a prophet. He can speak out. He will speak out. He is bold in what he says here in this thing here. Now, so we see here that a prophet is bold in what they say. And we'll relate that to us as individuals in just a minute, how people around us are that way, okay? But I want you to notice the second one here. The second one we have given here, back over in Romans chapter 12, that's a prophet, but in Romans chapter 12, verse number 7, or ministry. Now, what is a minister? We said last week the work of the ministry is to what? To serve. To serve is a ministry. Now, who is an individual in the New Testament? That is a good example of a server. There are many, okay, not just one, but I want to look at one. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse number 20. Instead of Galatians 2:20, it's Philippians 2:20. 2:20, look at verse 19 and 20. Paul is writing here to this church at Philippi. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus surely unto you that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. In other words, Timothy is the man that you need. He is a man that is a worker. He's a server. He'll serve you. He'll do for you what you need done for you in life as a Christian, as a church, you see. So we see he will be faithful. He will be loyal to you in the ministry. So Paul here is suggesting and reminding them who he's going to send, Timothy, to them as a server, as one who is faithful for the ministry. He's loyal for the ministry. He will be exactly what you need. Again, so we find here another gift called the server or a ministry. Minister is young Timothy here. Paul is suggesting to be that. Now, look over in, the book of Luke chapter 1. Another gift we're going to look at here. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 suggests another one. Look at verse number 4. Luke 1 and verse 4. Let's go back up to verse 3. It says, it seemeth good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order most most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, we know here, again, this is a teacher. Just speaking of a teacher. A teacher is a clear thinker, someone that thinks right. In order to be able to teach, you have to think right. And so we find here is another gift. He's speaking about teachers here. Paul, I believe in this book, Luke is the writer, Paul is the writer, and we find the writer of the gospel here is called by Paul the beloved physician, we find here. And we find here he's writing concerning being clear teachers, being a teacher of the Word of God. Now, look over in Colossians, go back to Colossians in chapter 1. We're trying to go through these gifts as we name them, and then we're going to be more specific with them. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, chapter number 1. We look at another gift here called an exhorter or a preacher. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man, see, and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. We see a preacher, an exhorter, knows how to motivate people. A preacher or exhorter, he is an exhorter also. Now, we also see in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, we talk about a giver, givers. Matthew was a giver. Givers are generous and trusting. They're generous and trusting. Givers are in their lives. Another gift he speaks about. In Nehemiah chapter number 1, verse 2 and 3, we find here talks about organizers and managers. We know how God used Nehemiah in this portion of Scripture to help the children of Israel get back where they ought to be, as they had wandered away from God. And now we find over in 1 John, turn over to 1 John as we conclude with these, and we're going to speak specifically about each one of them. But 1 John in chapter number 1, 1 John chapter number 1, look at verse number 3 and 4. 1 John 1, 3 and 4 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So we find here that it's talking about comforting or caring for people. That is the mercy, the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. We see this. Now, again, it would be difficult. I think it would be impossible for one individual to have the gift of prophecy, of a server, a teacher, a preacher, a giver, an organizer, and a one of mercy. It would be impossible for one individual to have all these gifts. That's why God has put us all together. That's why God has measured out to each one of us a certain gift, a certain measure of a gift, that we may use it together as a body of believers and build God's church. And so we see this is the reason why it's this way. Now, I want us today to look at the motivation of these gifts. The motivation of these gifts. What am I saying? What might each one say? And why do you say it? In other words, I said, in order for us to discern the gift that we have, we have to use ourselves. We have to begin to do something ourselves. And as we do something, we need to ask ourselves a question. First of all, we need to ask ourselves, what am I going to say and why do I say it? You got it? What am I going to say and why do I say it in my life? Now, let's notice something here. The prophet. The first gift, talking about a prophet. Now, I want to put a scene in front of you, okay? You have a setting maybe at home, okay? It's lunch, dinner, supper, whatever you want to call it. It's time to eat, okay? It's time to eat and the table is set. Everything's on the table and the family sits down to eat, okay? and everything is going fine. And all of a sudden, something happens that does happen once in a while. Something is turned over, say a dessert is turned over, falls off the table and hits the floor, and smack, there it is. Now, the question is this. First of all, what are you going to say? And number two, why do you say that? Why do you say that? Okay? Now, this is our illustration as we go through all these gifts. Now, first of all, the prophet is going to say something like this whenever this happens. That's what happens when you're not careful. Have you ever heard that? Huh? Has somebody ever said that to you? That's what happens when you're not careful. That's been said to me. I've said it to people, myself, you see. That's what happens when you're not careful. Now, but what is the motivation, or why did you say that? What is your motivation for saying that, okay? We say that because we want to correct the problem, right? We want to correct the problem. Here's a problem. The dessert's on the floor. There's a mess on the floor. The meal is upset, okay? Because now we all stop. Well, most people stop, not always. But most people stop, you know? And here we are with a mess. Now, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? As a prophet, what will they do? What will they do? We see the prophet says that's what happens when you are not careful. He says that for a reason. Again, he wants to correct the problem, and they want to encourage people to be honest before God and before others. In other words, if I knock the dessert off the table accidentally, I can blame my wife. You can blame who you want to blame, okay? It wasn't in the right place. I didn't, you know, whatever you want to say, you can blame somebody else. But it all boils down to me. It all boils down to me because I was careless, okay? I was in a hurry. I knew not too long ago. My wife and I were sitting down to eat, and everything was going fine. And I was eating, and I wanted something to drink. I reached over to get my glass, and instead of my hand getting around that glass, my hand got in front of that glass, and you know what happened? It plopped over. And here it went. I thought it was tea or water all over the table. Now, I could have blamed my wife, but it wasn't her fault. It was my fault, okay? Now, the prophet's going to say this. That's what happens when you're not careful. My wife could have said that to me. Keith, you need to be more careful. That's what happens when you're not careful, okay? And she's trying to correct me. She's trying to correct me in this situation because she has that gift within her that God gave her to help me to be this way. And she's trying to help me to be honest before God and before other people, you see. We don't want to be like Adam and Eve when they sinned and did wrong, blame one another, blame the serpent, or blame whoever, you see. But the prophet is trying to correct the problem. And he's trying to help the people to be honest before God and before one another. Whenever that happens in our lives, you see. That's our motivation. That's the motivation of a prophet when they're confronted with a situation like this. What to say and why do you say it? What to say and why do you say it? Now, let's go down to the exhorter. Those who exhort people, those that have the gift of exhorting, okay? We see, what will they say? They will probably say, next time let's serve the dessert after the meal, okay? So it won't be on the table, okay? Now, what would be the motivation of that? That is, he's trying to correct the next time we eat, the future. Next time when we eat, we won't put the desserts on the table until after everybody's through the meal. He's trying to correct the problem, you see. He's trying to exhort here, to exhort. Why? So they'll be able to grow, to be able to grow. An exhorter is someone who motivates people to grow spiritually or to grow whatever way is necessary. That is an exhorter. I know people today that are exhorters. They're good exhorters. They get around you. They're going to encourage you in the Lord somehow. They know what to say, and they know why they say what they say. They have a purpose in what they're doing, you see. Now, let's notice another one here. The teacher. What would the teacher say about the situation? His dessert's on the floor. There's a big mess. What would the teacher say in this situation? Something like this. The reason it failed was because maybe it's too close to the edge of the table. That would be what a teacher would say. See, a teacher would say that so they can appreciate, you see, next time what to do. In other words, a teacher is careful in teaching the Word of God, the message of God's Word. But this teacher here wants to discover why it happened. Why did it happen? Why did this dessert fall off the table? There's a reason for it. And they're trying to understand why and give an illustration here why this took place at this time, you see. Now, notice another one, an organizer. An organizer. Those that have the gift to organize. What would they say? The dessert's on the floor. We stopped in the middle of the meal. What will they do? How will they respond? Those that have the gift to organize. They might say something like this. Jim, would you get the mop? Mary, would you pick it all up? And Joe, would you get another dessert? That's an organizer. Okay? They will quickly respond to the situation there and take care of it. They have that spiritual gift to do that. When there's a crisis, when there's a problem, when there's a situation that comes up, they quickly respond to what needs to be done to correct the problem. That is someone that has a gift to organize, to organize. Their motive is to achieve a goal quickly, okay? To get back to eating, if you please. That's their goal, an organizer is, you see, to quickly get back to what they're doing so that they can get their lives in order and everything will be like it ought to be, like it was to begin with. That's the gift of an organizer. Organizer. Now notice also, another one is a giver. A giver. A person that has the gift of giving. Of a giver. They would say, I'll be happy to get a new dessert. They would get up and go get a dessert. They just respond that way very quickly and without any problem. And their motive would be to meet a need, a tangible need at this time, which is another dessert on the table, because somebody now is short because of this situation, you see. And they would get up and do this. So they did. They would do this so they would be free to give to everybody. Everybody would have the same thing again, you see. They would do this. And this is the gift of a giver. Now, notice the server. Someone who serves, someone who likes to serve and do for other people. They would say something like this when the dessert's on the floor, there's a mess in the kitchen, and everybody stopped eating. They would say, oh, let me help you clean it up. Let me help you clean it up. They would automatically respond this way, I'm going to help you clean this mess up. And they would get up and do it. They would get up and do it. And their motivation would be to fulfill a need. Here's a need in front of us. We have a crisis. We've got a mess on the floor. Everybody stop eating. Now we've got a need here. We've got to take care of this need. And this server would do that. They would get up and serve. They would get up and do whatever it takes to clean up the mess. To clean up the mess. Now these are gifts that people have, that God gives us. And they would serve and do this because they want to meet the needs of the people in the family. To meet everybody's needs. See, everybody wants to continue their meal. Yes, here's someone that don't have something that everybody else has. And this person would try to do this for this. So everybody would have the same thing again. Now, these are maybe not good illustrations, but they are illustrations of these gifts that people have that God has given to people. And so we see here back in Romans chapter 12 again, Like in Romans chapter 12 again, these gifts are available to certain people. I dare say most of you in here have at least one of these gifts. Some of you probably have more than one of these gifts. As a prophet, as a server, a teacher, or maybe exhorter, a giver, an organizer, or someone that shows mercy. Someone that shows mercy to people and to situations of comfort. Those that comfort people, those that are caring for people. These are people that show mercy. Comforting, caring people. You know, sometimes we all have crises in our lives. And there are, whenever a crisis comes in our lives, all of us like to be loved, don't we? We like to be cared for. There are certain people that when other people are going through things like that, they pick up on it. They have discernment. And God has given them that gift to go to that individual whenever they see them again, if it's in church, wherever it is, and console them, and talk to them, and care for them. See, that's what God is doing to His church. He's putting us all together that we can help one another by giving us spiritual gifts. All we have, spiritual gifts. And we're to use these gifts to make the church, the church of God, what it ought to be, complete and to make it whole. How do we understand these spiritual gifts? We have to do them. We have to be doing something again to know what we got. The next time something happens at home, within your family, and you say something, examine what you say and examine why you said it. And you'll be able to detect a spiritual gift that God's given you. Husbands, listen out for your wives. Wives, listen out for your husbands. Friends, listen out for your friends, that you might be able to help them to discern that gift that God's given them, that gift that God's given them. I have been able to pick up with my wife some gifts that God's given to her because of things that I've asked, and I know, you know, and vice versa. What I say and why I say it, what she says and why she says it. We're able to be able to discern some things by God's help. Therefore, we can help one another, you see, and realize, hey, God's put us together for a reason, you know? God's put this church together for a reason, you know? And that is to be able to use the gifts that God has given us. Listen, I said before, I said again, you have a gift. You have a gift. You probably have more than one gift. And whatever that gift is, I want to challenge you to use it, to grow it, if I should say. And you can know what it is by doing something for the Lord. You'll never know your spiritual gift. Just come into Sunday school, sitting on the pew, listen to the teacher, listen to the preacher, going home and doing nothing. You'll never know what that spiritual gift is. But if you begin to do something for God, God will give you discernment of what it is. What it is. Some of you are good exhorters. Some of you are good at comforting people. Some of you are good teachers. You really are. Some of you have good discernment. You're good exhorters. You know how to encourage somebody. Because God has given you that ability, you see. Again, I emphasize this. It's not what we have made ourselves, but it's what God has given us as His children to help one another. These are spiritual gifts, see? Not talents, but gifts that God has given to you and God has given to me. I trust again that we'll try to discern what it is and be using this gift, whatever it is, for God and for His glory. The church needs encouragement, doesn't it? Amen? Amen. And the only encouragement we get is from one another in church, but we certainly should get encouragement from God in His Word as we study it at home, as we read it, and as we hear it on Sunday school and also in church time. I'm thankful today that we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for not only God saving us, but God giving us something within us. And it takes His Word to stir up sometimes that gift that is in us, you know, that we might use it for His honor, for His glory. What is your gift? What is your gift? Why do you say what do you say, and then why do you say what do you say in any given situation? If you ask those two questions, you'll be able to discern quickly what your gifts are. But you got to be busy doing something first. You got to be busy. It's not just sitting around doing nothing. You got to be busy. May the Lord help us as we look at our lives. Ask God to help us to be what He wants us to be. Folks, I believe time's running out. I really believe time's running out for the Christian to do anything for the Lord. And we need to be busy. May the Lord help us. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the Word of God that You've given us. We thank You for Paul trying to encourage us not to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. That is not to be unlearned. This is something that we all need to try to discern with Your help. And God, I pray You'd help us, Lord, as we live our lives daily, that You might enable us to see what You've given us that we can use to bring honor to You. Lord, You're so good to us. Not only have You given us salvation, eternal life, but Lord, You've given us a little drive, a little opportunity called a spiritual gift. Lord, that we might use it also to bring glory to You. Lord, help us, strengthen us, help us to be what we ought to be for You. Lord, we're about to go to another service now, and I pray, dear God, You will bless. Pray, God, You bless our preacher. Lord, give him wisdom, give him strength, give him power to speak, thus saith the Lord. Bless the specials today. Dear God, if there's one here that's lost, I pray today they might get saved before it's eternally too late. Thank You again for loving us. Have Your willing way in our hearts and lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.